In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Our attitude about life can determine so much. The Apostle Paul tells us that to the pure, all things are pure. And if we turn that statement around, we can surmise that to those who are given to lust, all things are lustful. To those who have a tendency towards anger, everything produces anger. To those who are given over to food, everything's a trigger for food. You see, the eye of our soul is often filled with idolatry or things that take prominence. And we build in our life many habits. Many habits that predetermine and make it so that no matter what reality we see, we would always see the same thing. So the Apostle Paul says, to the pure all things are pure. The assumption is that when the pure look out, they don't just simply see corruption or the sin that resides in their heart, but they actually see reality as it is. Now think about this. Last week I was listening to NPR, and they had done a poll. And I'm not going to get too much into politics. I just want to mention this. We know we've been going this week, the impeachment hearings with President Trump. They do a poll in the U.S. 45% say that no matter what is said, they won't change their mind on the president's side. I think it was 46 or maybe 45% on the other side who said that no matter what was said, they wouldn't change their mind. And so you see that it's not really about rational argument at that point. That's always the way it is in politics. But think about that in other aspects of your life. You know, some people a long time ago said, you know, I don't feel like I'm thanked enough. I do a lot and people don't thank me enough. But then recalling all the times they had been thanked, it was that they couldn't see it. They couldn't hear it. They looked past it. Because they had an idea in their heart, and it set their eyes and it set their heart so it could only receive certain information. And we all know that this is true pragmatically in our day-to-day lives, that many of the people we encounter are given over to only seeing certain things. The critical will always be critical. Those who need to fix each other, fix other people, or have a need to be needed, somehow always find needy people. Those who spend their time overwhelmed find ways to be overwhelmed. And so all of these attitudes and these predispositions of our hearts determine the reality we experience and sometimes make life pigeonholed, make life one-faceted instead of multifaceted. And the goal of the Christian life, one of the goals of the Christian life, is to encounter reality as it really is. So in today's gospel, very briefly, Jesus heals a woman 18 years bent over. What a miracle. Jesus even takes the time when he's rebuking this ruler of the synagogue to say, imagine it. Imagine being bent over for those 18 years. And so this is a wondrous work, a marvelous work, something that should call forth joy from those around. And yet the one person with the hardened heart, the one person who has idolized the law, the one person with a heart that has envy and doesn't want glory taken away from him, makes a complaint and confronts Christ. This week we are going to celebrate the Feast of Thanksgiving. And of course, as Christians, all the virtues are open to us and we're encouraged to pursue all the virtues. But because it's the week of Thanksgiving, I think it would be good to say that one of the virtues that we could pursue in our lives that would help color the way we see reality is by adopting a spirit of giving thanks in all things. You know, the Apostle Paul says almost 50 times to give thanks, or in some variant to say give thanks in all things. He says it in the context of being persecuted. He says it in the context of struggles as well as in his glories. And so our society, once a year, celebrates this Thanksgiving Day, a great feast. But as we lead up to it, much of the time, as we sit around the table, we're not incredibly thankful for what we have. You see, one of the things about our souls is that, and unfortunately, it's this case, prosperity breeds contentment. Prosperity does not always lead to more thankfulness. Becoming wealthy and better educated and having a lower death rate and be better Medicare, healthcare, whatever, does not always breed thankfulness. Having the best medicine in the world, oftentimes, it's exactly the opposite. And that is one of the reasons why we're one of the most litigious societies, one of the most polarized societies. Because although we have an abundance of things to be grateful for, our hearts feel entitled. We feel as though this stuff should always have been there. And oftentimes, just simply, we haven't trained ourselves to look at the world with gratitude. So as Christians, fundamentally, gratitude is a basic foundation of everything we are called to do. And so as a habit, instead of having other sinful habits like envy or lust or looking at things through those sort of eyes, it is time, and it always has been time, for us to cultivate a spirit of gratitude. And that means to always have on our lips, whether we mean it or not, some sort of thankfulness to God. Because sometimes we change our inner disposition by saying things in an external way and hearing ourselves saying it, which reminds us, and then sometimes our thanksgiving is also heartfelt. But if we don't practice counting our blessings, if we don't practice actually looking out at reality and asking God, what is it I should be thankful for? And with an open heart, actually looking for opportunities to not only see the silver lining, but to see how much worse things could be, and to see how good I may actually have it. Now, those are basically psychological tricks, but those are the habits that are practiced that train the soul to begin to look through new lenses, lenses that see God's work in everything, lenses that see gratitude in everything, and lenses that lead ultimately to purity of heart. There is nothing worse than ingratitude. St. Nikolai Zycha, in one of his sermons, talks about the ingratitude of his time and just saying, there's nothing worse than someone taking a gift of yours that you've given them and saying basically it's garbage and it's worthless. How much worse is it for the Creator and us who are created, who have been given absolutely everything, the breath of life and everything, and even the salvation of sending his Son himself, who dies for our sins and offers us forgiveness. How much worse is it for a Christian to not be grateful? It is much worse. It's a rotten thing for the soul. So let's take this holiday and examine our souls. Let's look to Christ to purify us, to heal us, and ultimately to transform us, that we may become and embrace a habit of daily, of hourly, of every moment to moment being thankful for what God has given us and what He continues to give to us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Amen.